Podcasts. Heard of them? Or better yet, heard them? Podcasts absolutely exploded in the latter part of the 2010s. And with more people listening, podcasting as a platform is now a way to capture a wider audience and present information in a new way. A way that people are seeking out now more than ever. My name is Avery Moore-Kloss. I'm an audio storyteller and the 2020 podcaster in residence at Wilfrid Laurier University. I'm here to give you a quick education in podcasting, and more specifically, how podcasting is used to mobilize knowledge and the different formats podcasters use to connect with listeners. Think of this as a podcasting catch-up brought to you by the Center for Research and Security Practices at Wilfrid Laurier University. One of CRISP's goals is to support its members by encouraging skill development, and one skill deemed critical is exchanging knowledge with a range of audiences both within academia and outside of it. And one of the ways to exchange knowledge these days is, you guessed it, podcasting. Before we really take a deep dive into audio storytelling, we need to break that up a bit. First, let's talk about audio, and then I will tackle storytelling. Audio itself is so important. I've told stories in many different forms, and audio is my favorite medium. Here's why. Audio is intimate. In audio, we cut out the distractions and we focus on what's being said. Audio allows us to really listen, to build scenes with sound your ear recognizes, and to have conversations that we might not have in front of a camera. We've been using audio to connect with each other for a long, long time. From early audio recordings to radio and phone communication, audiobooks, now podcasting, audio connects. Now, to storytelling. Storytelling doesn't mean the same thing to everyone, so I want to be clear because I use the term a lot. Often when we think about the word story, we think fairy tales, storybooks, tall tales, something made up. But when I say story here, I'm talking about telling true stories. Storytelling allows us to connect nonfiction stories with an audience by engaging them in the audio story. To do that, we need to pull out the human elements, the human angle, and connect that humanity with a listener. That's how we get a listener to understand the guts of the story. I often cite journalist and professor Jackie Benazinski's piece in one of my favorite books. It's called Telling True Stories, and it's from the Nieman Foundation at Harvard University. Here's what it says, quote, "I think that stories make us human, and only by telling them do we stay so." Stories make us human. That's how we connect and why we connect. Let me tell you why I love podcasting as both a storyteller and as a listener. Podcasting offers listeners content that's both mobile and on demand. You no longer have to tune into the radio at a specific time to hear the news, an interview, or a specific show. It's in the palm of your hand. It's updated almost instantly when podcasts you subscribe to add a new episode. You can take it anywhere. You can listen in your car, on a run, while you cook, or even as you lie in bed at night. The podcasting apps also give you the ability to customize how you want to hear the podcasts you love. Where, which podcasts, how often, at what speed, and more. As a medium, podcasting offers storytellers the opportunity not only to capture those running, cooking, and driving audiences anywhere, but also to tell stories with very little barrier to entry. Anyone can start a podcast. Budgets can be low and equipment can be lacking, and you can still tell a story and connect with people. You can make a podcast with a smartphone, an internet connection, and nothing else. So, here are the basics. One. Officially, for audio to be labeled a podcast, it must be a piece of audio uploaded to an RSS feed to be disseminated to the podcasting apps of the creator's choice. I'm often asked what RSS stands for, and the answer is really simple syndication, or depending on who you've asked, rich site summary. It's basically a collecting space for information stripped down to simple text files, which makes it easier for loading and compatibility when plugged into a feed reader. It's a way to push updated content to a platform in a simple way. Remember when blogging was in the early stages of popularity? You used to be able to click a little orange button that almost looked like a Wi-Fi symbol? That orange button would give you instant updates when anything was added to that page. That's the same RSS feed and technology used to post podcasts. These days, podcast has become a catch-all term for long-form engaging audio. What used to be radio documentary is now largely audio performed on a podcasting platform. Even content played through the radio is often repurposed as a podcast. Podcasting can be an audio blog. Sky's the limit. On to two. There are three ways podcasts are delivered: seasonal, episodic, or serial. Seasonal podcasts present their content much like TV shows, with seasons and often a pause in between each one. Episodic podcasts, on the other hand, operate in kind of a rolling manner, usually with new episodes published on a regular schedule, whether twice a week, weekly, biweekly, monthly. If your podcast is a serial, usually that means the podcaster is telling one story as a series of episodes with a beginning and an end. So a serial podcast might have 10 episodes and will only ever publish those 10 episodes. Many true crime podcasts are told as serials, including one actually called Serial. It's one of the most popular podcasts of all time, and it's also credited for introducing listeners to the medium in droves in 2014. When it comes to length for a podcast, it doesn't have to be long to be good. In fact, one of the emerging trends in podcasting is micro-podcasts, or podcast episodes that are under about 10 minutes long. As the medium moves mainstream, some listeners just want bite-sized content. That being said, don't be surprised when you find a podcast episode that's over 2 hours long. Many podcasters use long-form approaches to tell their stories, and that loyal podcast audience I mentioned, if they're hooked, they'll listen. Speaking of loyal audiences, generally the way we track a podcast popularity is through downloads. How many times has an episode of the podcast been downloaded, whether on a phone, browser, or other listening device? But with over a million podcasts published on podcasting platforms, some podcasts have a huge number of downloads and others have comparatively minuscule downloads. And that's okay. When we talk about podcasting, we need to be realistic about how many people we will reach. One of the reasons that smaller numbers are okay is that often podcasts are targeted at very niche audiences. Niche podcasts do well. Do they get huge numbers? Not always. But if you can craft an audio show that attracts the kind of listeners you're looking for, even in small numbers, you can launch a successful podcast. 200 downloads per episode by some incredibly engaged listeners that are part of the niche audience you need to communicate with can be just as important as getting 10,000 downloads per episode by listeners who aren't really committed to the story. In fact, for the majority of those million-plus podcasts, audiences are quite small. When it comes to knowledge mobilization, podcasting is just one of the ways to reach an audience. Telling true stories across multiple mediums or platforms offers the opportunity to connect with new audiences in each new place. In podcasting, you'll find listeners who have never read a peer-reviewed article or someone who doesn't engage with TV news but listens to podcasts every single day. Telling the story of your research is something you should try to do on multiple platforms to reach new audiences from different places with different interests, and podcasting is definitely a medium that should be on that list. Before we head into how podcasters tell their stories, let's take a minute to bust a little podcasting myth. There's tons of marketing out there that will tell you that anyone, anywhere can make a podcast. And that messaging's not wrong. With a microphone and some editing software, and sometimes even just a smartphone, you can make a podcast. But talking into a microphone, editing some audio, posting a new episode to your RSS feed, that's the easy part. Actually crafting your story in a way that draws people in, keeps them listening, and educates them on something is the hard part. Anyone can make a podcast. It doesn't mean that anyone can create a podcast people will enjoy listening to. And maybe that sounds harsh, but when I give people advice on the podcast project they're making, I always urge them to think about the listener. Really hone in on the story. Figure out where it connects, focus on the most interesting takeaways, work hard to keep people listening, and lastly, don't let poor audio quality distract the listener from the story you're trying to tell. Now, here's the meat of it. When you decide to tell a story in audio through a podcast, there isn't just one way to structure it. There are so many different ways to build a podcast episode, and each of those ways work differently based on the kind of story you want to tell and the amount of time you have to dedicate to it. For the purpose of this piece, we're going to explore the four major formats used to tell true stories: monologue, chatcast, interview style, and narrative, or we can call that documentary. I'm going to lay them each out for you, discuss the pros and cons, and even do a little show and tell. To do that, I've enlisted a friend, Toronto podcaster Gadgen, to help me show your ears what each podcast format we're discussing actually sounds like. Imagine, if you will, that Gadgen and I are starting a podcast on podcasts. Meta, I know. And we're trying each different format on for size. We want you to hear the difference. Here's Gadgen.
Hi, my name's Gadgen. I produce five different podcasts on various genres. We started with sports. We moved into comedy. We also explore music. And I do some monologue work as well. And the goal is to talk about different genres and topics that interest me.
I actually don't need Gadgen for this first format, but don't worry, he'll be back. Oh, and at the end of each format discussion, I'm going to give you some suggestions for podcasts you can listen to that use that specific format and skew a little bit more towards an academic lens. So, when you hear this noise, get your pencils ready, because it's time to discover a new podcast. Just choose your favorite podcasting app. If you don't have a favorite podcasting app, well, Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts are the big three. And then there's a whole list of other apps with all sorts of different features and functionalities you might enjoy. You could try Stitcher, Radio Public, Pocket Cast, Overcast, TuneIn. The list goes on and on. Or if you have a smart speaker, just ask it to play one of my podcast suggestions. Okay, just checking. And don't worry, when I suggest a podcast, links to those podcasts will be detailed in the content on this page, you know, just in case you don't have a pencil nearby. So let's start off with monologue, also called a solo podcast. Monologue is the easiest and quickest podcast format to pull off. Why? Because all you need is your voice, a mic, and maybe some audio editing. There's no scheduling of guests. You don't have to count on anyone else to contribute. You can control what content makes it to the mic. The good news is it only relies on you. And the bad news is, well, it only relies on you. You, as the host of a monologue podcast, have to be an engaging enough storyteller to keep people listening. Other than some music, your voice is the only thing the listener is going to hear for the entirety of the episode. So you really need to bring it. A monologue podcast sounds, well, a lot like this piece of audio right here. There could be some music, maybe a few sound effects, but mostly it's just me talking to you. When I perform monologue podcasts, I script out what I'm going to say. In fact, I'm reading off a script right now. But you don't have to write a script to pull off a monologue podcast. Lots of podcast hosts feel much more comfortable scribbling down some form of notes, deciding on some kind of structure, and then just going for it off the cuff. There's no right way to perform a monologue podcast as long as you're bringing your own special performance to it. Either way, what's important is that you try as hard as you can to sound conversational, to sound like yourself. It sounds funny to say, but anyone who works in audio will tell you that sounding like yourself in front of a microphone is actually one of the most difficult parts of podcasting. It can take years and years of practice to make sure what you say into the microphone is what you would say and how you would say it in a real-life conversation. A few subgenres worth noting here. Monologue podcasts could be performed in diary style, very personal stories read aloud, rants, think Rick Mercer style, essays, solo storytelling, or sometimes even as guided meditation podcasts. Ah, a podcast suggestion. Again, I've pulled some podcast recommendations for you that either use academic research or are using podcasting as a form of knowledge mobilization. So if you want to hear what a monologue or solo podcast can sound like, try listening to In Depth Out Loud. This podcast is presented by The Conversation UK and presents an audio-only version of articles written by academics. From why IVF changed the way we think about fertility to how potatoes fueled the rise of liberal capitalism, In Depth Out Loud is a great example of a podcast repurposing academic articles for an audio-loving audience. Okay, next on the format list, the interview-style podcast. Far and away, this is the most well-used style of podcast out there today. Interview podcasts feature a different guest on every episode, making it the host's job to lead the conversation in an interesting way. Remember here that just because a podcast is in interview style doesn't mean the creator of the podcast isn't responsible for telling the story. The host of an interview podcast needs to be well-researched and is responsible for asking questions on kind of a story arc. There's a beginning and a middle and an end to every interview, and the host is responsible for touching on each at the right time through the interview. One of the reasons interview style is often used in podcasts is that guests become the theme of the episode. There's built-in content with the guest, and the host's curiosity can lead the episode forward. Interview podcasts can also easily be done virtually, which makes it accessible to anyone making a podcast with an internet connection. And to give you a sense of what an interview podcast sounds like, here's Gadgen again.
Hey, it's Gadgen.
And here's Gadgen and I chatting in interview style. Gadgen, thank you so much for being here. I'm so excited to have you and talk about... Well, it's funny, podcasting about podcasting, but I think really what I want to zone in with you on is talking about interviewing and how that works for you. So just give me a sense of when you're talking to a guest and you're interviewing, what are the things that you're thinking about when you're really trying to engage them in conversation?
I think the most important thing for me is that that person is the most interesting person in the world for me in that moment. And that makes the entire process easier. If this person is the most interesting person that I will ever get to speak with, what would I want to know about them? What is their origin story? I love to start there. What brought them to the place that they're at now? And I think that when you sort of explore that and you come in with that sort of humility, it makes the entire process easier. One thing about it is about podcasting for me anyway, is that we have this rare opportunity to learn from another person's journey. And if you kind of approach it with that level of seriousness, you often get some surprising results.
Yeah, it's interesting what happens when you really engage with someone and show them that you're really listening, right? Like, I think often we forget to listen.
Yeah. I think that's the special thing is that, you know, so much in society, you don't have this genuine active listening or authentic listening, right? Where, you know, you make the eye contact, you wait to speak, and you ask follow-up questions to show that you are listening. How often do we see this in our social circles? And more often than not, well, you know, pre-pandemic, you're often cutting over each other, shouting and all that kind of stuff. And it's a more, you know, lively interaction. But very seldom do people get to be interviewed and profiled in a very intimate way where they're treated as if they're the most important person. And that's what I like to bring. And very quickly, it puts the person at ease because they see the level of, again, humility and seriousness that I bring to the podcast, but also that they're treated with respect, that, you know, their whatever their art form is, or whatever their story is, there is a level of respect that's given to that. And they're more open to sharing that story or that journey.
It's so true. You really just have to make someone feel comfortable right off the bat, right? Like, yeah. Even sometimes what, you know, the conversation you have before you get on the mic is the most important part because you've made someone feel comfortable. When you're asking questions, are you really trying to get in the mind of the listener, or how does the listener really pull into that?
What I like to think is that I start with what would I want to know. So for example, I got to interview a pretty well-known musician, and I approached it as, what would I want to know about this musician? And for me, it's, how did you get started? How did you get the courage to go and produce music and put yourself out there and then, you know, produce some really controversial, emotional material? And I think there is a certain level of universality in that, where like people often will want to relate to that. So I try not to worry too much of what the listener would want to think. I'd rather think about, if I wanted to know as much as possible about this journey, let's start with that. And then as the conversation goes, once we're about half an hour in, that's where I start to think about, okay, is there something that I haven't talked about that someone else might find interesting? If someone that is becoming a musician, what would they want to know? Or if someone works for a newspaper or a media agency, what would they want to know? I don't start with that, but that's where I like to ask those maybe questions that they don't get asked as often, right? Or things that might come to them as a little bit of a curveball, not to put them in a hot seat, but just to kind of make them pause for a second before they answer. But again, that will usually come about halfway or two-thirds of the way into the interview.
Listen, Gajan, thank you for doing this.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Here's a great example of an academic-ish interview style podcast done right. It's called Ologies. Host and science correspondent Allie Ward describes her podcast simply with the tagline, quote, asking smart people stupid questions. But really, this is an extremely well put together podcast featuring interviews with various ologists on what fuels their study. Listen to it. It's really great. A Laurier spotlight here, check out the podcast One Market. One Market was launched by digital media and journalism program coordinator Bruce Gillespie and associate professor Tara Brookfield. The podcast was launched to welcome guests from Laurier's Brantford campus as a way to connect during a time of pandemic. Oh, and Bruce throws a good monologue in here and there. Some honorable mentions here, the rights track, which is, quote, hard facts about human rights challenges facing us today, and Artificial Intelligence with Lex Friedman, which features conversations about the nature of intelligence, science, and technology from the perspective of deep learning, robotics, AI, AGI, neuroscience, philosophy, psychology, and more. Okay, let's move on to the next podcast format, what I like to call the Chatcast, or the conversational podcast. I define Chatcast as two or more people joined together to discuss a specific topic. There may be some research or prep involved before the microphones are turned on, but once the recorder is rolling, the show is largely conversational and improvised. It's more like a conversation around a table or over coffee than it is an interview. A conversational podcast could include a panel or a roundtable or just two or three hosts chatting over coffee. That's not to say the conversation isn't structured, it's just not scripted. The hosts are still expected to give the story of their podcast episode some structure, but the conversation can happen naturally once the topic is introduced. So, Gajan is back, and here's our show and tell audio piece, you guessed it, in Chatcast conversational style. Hey, Avery Moore-Kloss here.
Hey, Gajan here.
And today, we thought we'd kind of move into this podcasting space by talking a little bit about Chatcast. And Chatcast is something that can be used for different kinds of shows, but specifically, like, it's a really great model when you've got two or three hosts who can just go back and forth.
Yeah, and it gives you the feeling that you're just in the room with them, right? It isn't so formal. It's pretty casual. It's easy listening. And, you know, imagine someone in the kitchen or on a drive. They don't want to think too hard, maybe. They just want to feel like they're part of the conversation.
Yeah, and you know what? I feel like sometimes people engage really well when it just sounds like the way they would talk to their friend. You know,
exactly.
Like it sounds like polished. What happens. Totally. Even if you're not in the same room, it sounds like you're around a table and you're having just
exactly.
kind of a natural conversation.
Exactly.
A pro of Chatcast is that you don't have to do a ton of pre-planning.
I mean, that's the best part, right? What I love about it is that you can make a few bullet points. And it's just you being a conversationalist. So yeah. if you enjoy talking to good people, surround yourself with some good people and you have a show.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, and you can base it on knowledge you have or on something you want to present. But it's less of this formal, like, hey, here's a question. I'm making this like story arc through questions. It's just a nice, relaxed way to kind of have a conversation.
Yeah. And a great example of this for me was our basketball show. I mean, we're just fans of basketball. We pick two or three things that are interesting and topical, And then we just react to them. I mean, these are conversations we have in our free time anyway. So think about, what is that to you? If you were looking to start a chatcast, you know, maybe you're interested in gardening and you have a couple of gardening friends and, you know, the sun is coming up. Well, maybe the minus the storm that's coming into Toronto today, but you just have this casual conversation about these things and let it flow.
A note here to tell you that Chatcast is easy in some ways and not in others. There's no script, so that's a little easier. And you can rely on each other or multiple people to help move the conversation forward. But there are also some challenges. The logistics of having multiple hosts or guests can make this format a little bit more laborious, both technically and logistically. Also, you need to count on charisma between the hosts and guests to draw the listener in and keep them tuned in. And that can come with time and practice. A fun and quirky podcast suggestion here, a great example of a well-educated chatcast, is the podcast Sawbones. Hosts and partners Justin and Dr. Sidney McElroy call the show a, quote, marital tour of misguided medicine, where they break down the weird, gross, and dangerous approaches to medical problems through the ages. It's totally charming. Also, take a swing at the Sociology Annex podcast. The Annex describes itself as a podcast for academic sociologists. It does a great job of posing questions and discussing topics of interest to the academic sociology community. Some episodes are one-on-one discussions, and others feature a panel of guests discussing an idea or research area of interest. If you need an extra push, the Sociology Annex podcast comes highly recommended by Crisp's Shane Dixon. And that should be enough. Now, the final major podcast format. Also the most involved and hardest to make, but very pleasing to the ears. Documentary, or we can call it narrative. Before podcasting, audio documentaries existed primarily on the radio, either on CBC in Canada, National Public Radio in the US, or on community radio stations in both countries. Usually, stories told in this style take a lot of research, a fair amount of reporting, and can take many weeks or months to make per episode. Documentary stories are very polished and professionally engineered, with either a narrator guiding the story through a set structure or a sound stitched together to tell a story without a narrator. We call this a soundscape. In documentary style, usually the listener hears from a number of different voices on the same topic, mixed with captured sound, music, and when applicable, archival tape. Documentary-style radio shows like Radiolab or This American Life were some of the early adopters of the podcast platform, bringing with them large built-in audiences who were pleased to have a way to listen to their favorite public radio show on demand rather than waiting by the dial. Since then, true crime podcasts have also taken to adopting this style as a way to present a story through podcasting, a lot of them extremely successfully. Documentary at its core is a venture in both reporting and storytelling. And for that reason, there's a ton of work that can go into producing an episode in this format. Often, you'll find a long list of team members, think producers, reporters, fact checkers, sound engineers, editors, production managers, listed at the end of a documentary podcast episode or detailed on the podcast website. That's because this format takes a lot of work and more than a few bodies to pull it off well. There are, of course, easier ways to tell narrative-style stories used in podcasting that don't require a whole team of producers. Stripping a story down to just a narrator setting the scene and teeing up clips from interviews they performed is sometimes more approachable and still a great way to tell a story. Here's a quick stab at letting you hear a documentary narrative style using clips from my interview with Gadjan. The first time Gadjan remembers really feeling the power of a story was while watching movies as a kid growing up in Toronto, specifically South Asian films.
They were so grandiose, they were so over the top, but at that age, you just took them for what they are, as their art form, and they made you feel something.
For Gadjan, there was something captivating about the power of the story the films told that really drew him to storytelling. He says the idea that he could tell stories and be unabashedly creative opened up a whole new world for him.
All of us were growing up together. It was a bunch of people watching it together, laughing together, getting emotional together. And you witnessed, and for me at the time, it was just impressional that a film can create and elicit an experience from people, right? And that always stood out.
When Skadjan was older and set off to tell his own stories, he found photography, a medium that allowed him to encapsulate that same feeling he had as a child sitting in front of the TV. Okay, we're back. Now, if you're looking for some examples of academic research used in a documentary or narrative-style podcast, check out these two award-winning Canadian shows made by the same production company. Cited is a recently relaunched podcast funded by the Social Sciences and Humanities Research Council of Canada. In each episode, journalists enlist a Canadian faculty member as a research advisor and a graduate student to provide research support. The result is engaging, beautifully told, and fully cited stories told using academic research. The team from Cited also created a podcast called Crackdown, which is described as, quote, the drug war covered by drug users as war correspondents. It's beautifully made. Some honorable mentions in this style, bigger and more broad, are Hidden Brain, 99% Invisible, and Distillations. So, those are the four main formats podcasters use to structure the stories they're telling in audio. But, like with anything, grouping things together in buckets can be problematic sometimes, especially when talking about creative ventures. For the purpose of this lesson, I focus mainly on formats used to tell true stories, though many fiction-based podcasts also use these formats. I want to mention a few extra formats that are important in the medium. For one, podcasting has opened up a whole new platform for radio dramas or radio plays. Many authors are now looking to podcasting as a way to tell stories, whether fiction or nonfiction, with multiple performers, sound effects, and music. Secondly, repurposed content is also kind of its own sub-format. Using audio from live events, poetry slams, storytelling gatherings, YouTube videos, live radio shows, talk shows, news shows, and more, all use podcasting to extend out from their original audience and capture new ears. Lastly, I want to spend a minute on what I call hybrids. With so many different podcasts vying for the attention of listeners, doing something different than everyone else is often a necessary tactic to creating buzz and garnering praise. So many podcasts will bring their own style to creating their show by blending two or more of these bigger formats together. To use myself as an example, my podcast Grown Up starts off with a monologue, it moves into documentary style, and then it ends with an interview. Understanding these formats and how they're best used to tell a story helps you to choose your own style and build your own format. I don't want you to think that you have to stick to a specific format when you're building a podcast. Creativity is always encouraged and, well, necessary. If you want to start your own podcast, the first thing you need is an idea. Write down your idea like you're pitching it to a friend, or actually pitch it to a friend. Once you have your idea, take a good look at how much time you have to dedicate to both creating the content and editing the audio. This will help you decide which format to use. Choose a format or a blend of formats that are both realistic for your lifestyle and help you to best tell the story you want to tell. From there, find yourself a microphone, record some audio, and choose some editing software or an actual person who does audio editing. For podcasting, we use multi-track audio editing suites. Some examples are Audacity, Adobe Audition, Reaper, Hindenburg Journalist, and each of those editors will have more than a few YouTube how-tos dedicated specifically to building a podcast episode. Then, all you need to do is choose a podcast hosting platform like Simplecast, Libsyn, Blueberry, Anchor, there's a million of them, and each will walk you through how to get your first episode posted on the podcasting apps. There are lots of places that will give you a really quick education in how to podcast. For a personal favorite of mine, head to YouTube and search for PRX Podcasting 101. It's a great place to start. Alternatively, if your interest is being featured as a guest on a podcast, here's my best and only advice. Pitch yourself. There are hundreds of thousands of podcasts out there, and they're always looking for expert guests. Find a few that fit your research area of interest or where your work could add to the conversation and send them a tweet, a direct message, or an email. So, whether your audio story is suited for a monologue, interview, chatcast, or documentary, or your own special blend of these four and their subformats, what matters most is that you're thinking about how best to make a connection with a listener. What is the most engaging thing about the story you want to tell? How does it make a listener feel? What does the listener want to know more about? What question is the most important to answer? And how is the story not being told anywhere else? Podcasting can be a great way to reach a new audience. So whether you're making your own podcast or appearing as a guest on someone else's podcast, keep story top of mind and the listeners in your ear. Story matters because story connects. Wilfrid Laurier University's Center for Research on Security Practices created this audio lesson as a tool for researchers and others to learn more about podcasting as a medium for knowledge mobilization. A reminder that any podcast recommendations you heard in this episode are linked in the written content on this page. My name is Avery Moore-Kloss. I'm a podcaster, audio storyteller, writer, and the 2020 podcaster in residence at Wilfrid Laurier University. Thank you for listening.